One sec. Man, going to Ireland and Scotland would be fun.
Yeah, we'll fly out tomorrow.
Actually, well, not right now. They're all dealing with, well, I guess they're not dealing with the Queen stuff, but.
Yeah, stay out of London.
Nah, they went to the right country.
they're celebrating a different type of way.
I think that would be so fun.
Speaking of that's probably one of my favorite ISU signs ever is, I forget the exact wording, but it's something like, if you get divorced in West Virginia, are you still brother and sister?
Oh, yeah.
Probably one of my favorite signs.
That was from that night game that everybody remembers so well, isn't it?
No. That's from like 2012. It's like it's from a basketball game.
Really?
Maybe not 2012. It's maybe 2013, 2014. Yeah, it's way back then. Yeah. Yeah, it's from a basketball game.
No, there's not too many excuses that I'll give people for missing Iowa State football games, but my brother-in-law and his wife, they got married during COVID, and they had a destination wedding / honeymoon lined up to go to Hawaii, and it got shit canned, and so they needed to use their airline credits and stuff. And so they're parlaying that into Ireland, Scotland.
This
here.
Is your brother-in-law, not your brother, by the way.
I said brother-in-law, didn't
you
I?
You said brother and sister-in-law.
Oh, well, you know what I mean. Yeah. At any rate, we're related.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, sometimes that would be a lot of fun. I'm not doing it during Iowa State football, but I don't have I don't have expiring airline credits on the line either.
If you could pick a week, this week's a week. I mean, it all comes full circle.
They'll actually be out for the regular game, too. Because they're going.
All right, that's a totally different story. But,
well, man,
the Ohio game or whichever, like, third game that we play when it's, like, a MAC school or something.
Right.
That's always, like, the most missable game. You don't want to miss the first game because that's, like, that's the season kicker offer,
yes.
Kickoff, where you're like, all right, it's going to be great. I've been waiting. Anything. Let's go play SEMO or whoever. just go to the stadium and get your fill of Cyclone football, college football. And then, obviously, you can't miss the Cy-Hawk. That's blasphemous.
Right, yeah. I'm about to say, you know that game is every other year in Ames, so.
Would we be recording this? Yeah, and then it's conference play, and then you don't want to miss any of that, especially now. I mean, maybe back in the Paul Rhodes days, you're halfway through and you're just like, fuck this.
So you're like, fuck
this freaking game. You end up missing the 2011 Oklahoma State game because you had a wedding that was moved to Friday, so it didn't mess up a football game, and then the football game got moved to Friday. And you find yourself driving back late at night just so you can at least celebrate afterwards.
No.
Weddings in the fall are a bad idea.
I'll at least give your cousin credit on that one where they looked at the schedule and they moved their entire wedding plans from a Saturday to a Friday just to accommodate a football game.
I know, because it's always like, who gets married on a Friday and who has a football game on a Friday? And then they freaking happened together. And at least we've seen greater games than that now, but at the time, that might have been one of the greatest games.
The only thing, you know, me and jinxes and superstition, that sort of thing. The only thing I'll say is your family has a hell of a record. So one of her cousins gets married when we beat Oklahoma State, number 2 in the nation.
Sure.
Completely out of left field. One of her other cousins got married the first time we won in Norman in God knows how long.
And she was a Mackie. Wow. We were with like the Mackie family in like Lake City.
Is that the one in 2017?
It would have been the one where Kyle Kemp came in, whatever.
Yeah, that was 2017.
Yeah. We were all staring at our phones and I could see people be like, yes, with their fists.
Oh, like, we cheered the You May Kiss Your Bride big time on that one. So now I'm just thinking, like, who else in your family can get married during a road game? Don't do it on home games anymore. A real
man, kiss the bride. Touchdown! Let's go!
You better get the fuck away from your
literally, TV though, we walked out of the wedding and everybody's like, yeah, how about them cyclones? You guys see that? Like, that's what happened when we walked out the door.
Who's getting married when is that? October 15th. You have anybody getting married October 15th?
Nobody lined up this fall.
Nobody lined up? We'll find somebody. Make some friends. We got to beat Texas.
Most of our friends like football.
What? Now, I got to – this is a question out of left field. What? I'm not going to go all the way natty, but what would you give up to have Iowa State go 12-0 and win the conference?
Oh, my.
Oh.
A perfect season.
A perfect season with the conference title. I'm not talking about title. Obviously we go to the playoff and whatnot, but I'm talking about like I'm not talking about any of the results there because that's pipe dream. Yeah.
What would I give up?
All right. Yeah. I hope it's not like a child or something.
No, I won't say that. I won't say that.
You won't say that in front of Allison.
In front of that was a joke. That's why you have more than one.
Yeah. Here's our lazy kid.
You can give me up, but I'm going to take you for everything you have.
Well, there definitely won't be much left after that bowl season. Oh, man. Well, would you?
Here, I'll say this. Here, yeah. I'll give you some options because you're trying to think. Here.
I'm trying to think for would real. You, like, what would I honestly trade off for that?
So, I'll tell you this. We can have a perfect season, conference and regular season. No playoff. We're not talking about playoff. But you cannot watch the games live or go back and watch the replays ever in your entire life.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's fine. You'll take that.
I'll take that.
You know, there honestly
want the ecstasy of winning.
There honestly has been a point in my life where I wondered if I was honestly the jinx, and the fact that I went to the games was why we weren't winning them. That was in the middle of.
Is it me, God?
I think that was maybe towards the end of.
Are you 100 and some years old? Because it can't be you.
No, it was maybe towards the end of the Paul Rhodes era where it's like, well, like we would win when I would. I can't remember the exact scenario, but long story short, I was starting to question, should I not be here?
Jeez, Kev. What the fuck?
I mean, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Whatever.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly give a season up if that meant that my team was guaranteed to go undefeated that whole season and I never got to know more than
you guys gotta remember that Kevin yells from the stands thinking everybody's hearing him.
Oh, I hear him.
Well, that's because you're standing next to him.
See, if we bought more tickets, I wouldn't yell so loud.
Well, I'll tell you this. We're all the way up in Section M and that's not that far, but anyway.
It's a beautiful view up there.
When Kevin yells, there's people down in the lower bowl that turn around and look up to where he's yelling. Because every time he yells, I look to see if anybody can hear him down there. There's always a couple ladies that look up. So the message is getting received.
Well, if everybody else would just yell like that, just think how loud the stadium is.
Yeah.
There's been times where Kevin's uncles told him to maybe tone it down a bit. It didn't happen, but he told him to.
Well.
That's no fun. Well.
Speaking of north end zone upgrades.
Yeah.
So when we wall that son of a bitch in with the mm-hmm. seats, watching that Texas game this weekend, I saw they had these terraced, like,
party platforms.
Party decks, I call them.
Yes.
We need to be doing that with the Hillside. So the north end zone needs to be cheap seats. That needs to be for guys that just want to get wild. And they're in the like family, standing room only. The families too. Yeah, like everybody just let's get wild here. Stupid cheap seats. But then in the corners where you're trying to tie the stadium together, Texas had this terraced little they're like grassy party decks. Do you know how wild a bachelor party or a group of buddies that just fly in because they used to go to Iowa State and they haven't been in a couple of years type of thing? That'd be some sweet premium seating where you just get a unique experience.
Would it be premium in the winter too, or in the late fall?
You're damned right it would be.
It would, yeah. People would still come, especially if it's like a premier.
Yeah, I'm
game.
Thinking like down in Austin. That you got to use those every game.
Yeah, but if you lined the front with like a bar rail,
mm-hmm.
and then had a LP fed fireplace.
Oh my gosh,
that run
you're
the,
getting a little extravagant here.
This got a life of luxury here.
Keep your hands.
You know what?
Premium. This is premium.
What we
fuck
what
your
we
corn.
Need.
This is moving on up.
You know what we need to do?
Moving on up.
Okay, so what we need to do, we definitely need to bowl in the north end zone. But what we need to do subsequently with that, we need to do something about that press box.
No.
I'm looking at these games with all the press boxes. I'm like, our little dinky thing. Come on.
You know what kind of money that takes?
Oh, I know. It's an obscene amount of money. And you have to add suites and all that kind of garbage.
Yeah. So but, the problem that we ran into, and that's part of retrofitting an older stadium to make it all accommodate, mm-hmm. is the easy suites would have been between, you know, the top of the lower bowl to mm-hmm. put suites in that.
Yes.
And we didn't do that. And that's fine. It is what it is. You'd be better suited trying to figure out how you can, I don't know. How many people want to be in a luxury box anyways? You're not
people
at the game.
I would probably guess that some people that are in the suck-up end zone club kind of wish that they had a sideline seat.
Yeah.
You know,
I can
see they got a sideline seat. Not saying that the suck-up end zone club is like that. That's a party in there. They're having fun.
The watching the game is I've sat in the bleachers when it was bleachers there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best view. Maybe towards the top of the suck-up end zone, you're getting to where you can see better. But down low, mm-hmm. I remember what it was like to be 10 rows up from the field in the end zone. You could not tell how well a play went or not until you heard the announcers tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so those seats are just – they're corporate giveaways.
Corporate giveaways.
I think you're talking about a different fan there.
Yeah,
for aesthetics, it would look a hell of a lot better if we had a bigger press box running across that west side.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about you necessarily need Michigan where it's the whole damn sideline, but something where, hey, you have Mr. and Mrs. Doner and mm-hmm. they want to come in and not be freezing cold.
I just wonder, is that something that even a wealthy Iowa State fan really wants? Because in my opinion, and I'm wrong plenty of times, in my opinion, the majority of Iowa State fans are kind of more of that working class mold where in a position to throw some cash around, don't you want to be in the elements a little bit? You know,
well, you're talking about the people. I'm talking about the people who only come kind of to watch the game, but they also come to talk to their friends. They're not going to be cheering loud. They hate that it's cold. They're always going to go back to their tailgate and sit there for basically the middle of the second quarter to the middle of the third quarter, sit in their car to warm up, and then come back to the end of the game and leave if it's bad. Or
they might as well be blowout. Might as well be inside of an enclosed
box. And they realize I hate the cold. They might as well be in a press box because they're not going to cheer anyway.
That's true.
And put them up there, and then you can raise some money for the school.
Those are fans that marry Iowa fans. Or Iowa's, like their wives were Iowa fans or something, so they just don't really care.
Well,
so they get a press box. So
They could be.
I don't know if I totally agree with that.
They could be a true Iowa State fan, but not dive right. That's where I kind of struggle a little bit because
you're too passionate.
I like the game day way too much, and so I would never want to be boxed in.
See, at a football game, I'm in the crowd. But at a baseball game, I've been to a box before. It's much better in a box.
Yeah.
It's sure much is.
Better in a box.
Oh, gosh.
No, it's not.
At a baseball game. Yes, it is, dude.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's
no.
So much yes. better.
Yes. Lower section along the first baseline or the third baseline.
Yeah. No. They have carts full of food and desserts. Yes. And whatever you want.
You don't have to pay, dude.
You're paying for all that food. Instead of paying
Food. Yeah, you get the food. You get all that. See, like, at a baseball game, I'm kind of just there to hang out. Like, a lot of people come for the football game are just there to hang out. Baseball game, I'm totally just there to hang out and drink beer and just do whatever and just enjoy the weather. Football, I am locked into what's going on. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people who are just kind of there for the ride and enjoy the spectacle and being out and talking to their friends in any fan base. And that's why I'm saying put them in the party place, put them in a booth, or put them on maybe one of those terraces or in the Suck Up End Zone Club.
See, I haven't been
and to get the rowdy people out in the open that are just want to just biting at the chain to take this motherfucker.
I do think that to a degree, that time spent in the student section away from. So I grew up in the lower bowl on around the 35 yard line, and it was very family friendly.
Holy toy.
You know, I had extended family and everything. We were all. Three generations of fans all sitting there, all that stuff. And it was, and we cheered and we yelled and people cussed and stuff like that. But those few years of being in the student section, it's been kind of hard to take some of that. some of that rough around the edges fan out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's the stuff that I like. It makes it more fun. I like being able to just shout whatever the hell is on the top of my mind. I mean,
yeah,
that's what you do.
That's the part of the fan experience. Yeah,
that's why we need just to go to Bridgestone and the John Deere factory and all that kind of stuff, and just give tickets away for free for the north end zone whenever we build that, and just cage it in. Just make it a big cage of a bunch of greasy dudes who are liquored up. Just give them, hey, for every two beers, third beer's on me. And just get them shit fixed and just going, just a wall of greasy men just screaming, fuck you, Spencer Rattler.
I like how you just painted every working man with a broad brush.
You know what I'm saying? Get out of your auto mechanic. Those types of dudes.
Well, but what I will say is, and this part of why I appreciate that we've saved two hillsides up to this point, and where our seats are, I'll bitch about how we've raised prices because when I was in the Hillside, or when I was in the South bleachers, those were $100 season tickets at one point. And now we're well beyond that mark.
Oh, yeah.
And
because we're good now.
And we're buying four.
Yeah, but it was a per five. But it was a per ticket.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna argue with that. I'm happy to pay. I think we're getting our values worth out of our seats this great stuff. But it's really important to me that Iowa State has a very affordable option for fans. This is how the Little Cyclone Club, things like that, the Hillside option, the having a seat. I think now that we've priced every actual seat out of what I would consider entry level, you can argue whether you think the corners are still entry level price or not. I don't think they're entry level, but if we could get ourselves an entry level section for people to figure out, is this what I want to commit my family's dollars to every fall? Mm-hmm. That's how you get these new families of fans. And I think Pollard has done a great job doing that so far. I would like to see that continue. It'd be a shame if Iowa State fell to the same trap that every other program seems to have fallen into, where you price yourselves out of a sellout. You look at all these three-quarter full stadiums, these half-full stadiums. It's not because nobody wants to come. It's because you priced them out of it.
I think
I would have to do the math on it to see like how much they're actually making and whatnot, and how much it costs per person for the concessions and all that kind of stuff. And if you make money on this and whatnot, I don't know. I have no clue. And maybe they price them out because then they don't have to hire as much concession workers or whatever.
I am sure that each of these universities set their price points for a reason.
They know how many people are coming anyway.
But to me, you're hindering the long-term plan of your fan base.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'll tell you.
How many fans have we brought in that didn't like Iowa State that are big Iowa State fans now?
Sure. And well, I've got plenty of fans.
I can think of at least six people that did not care one way or the other, or they were Hawkeye leans or whatever. We took them to a game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are season ticket holders now at Iowa State. And
I mean, my friend.
Yeah, and we did that off of cheap tickets that, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. The best thing that could possibly happen now is we beat Iowa this year, because I've even seen from people that I'm friends with that don't really care about sports, they kind of going, you guys are pretty good now.
My dad's like, man, y'all are good. My friend, she lives in Michigan now. She's like, yeah, I want to come to the homecoming game. So her and her boyfriend are coming out. You guys will get to meet them.
Is that the girl that witnessed the epic tirade after the Oklahoma State game in 2019?
This girl
came to one game. She came to that game, and she saw me just cussing in my car, just going crazy. 62 times? You're gonna throw the ball 62 fucking times?
I forgot about that.
And like Breece Hall, that was the game after Breece Hall just torched Texas Tech. And we're all just like, give it a fucking Breece, please. And they didn't do it. But anyway.
I forgot about this.
It's so fucking infuriating.
That was so infuriating.
And we like came back and we threw a pick. I'm starting to get mad about that game. It was 3 years ago.
Yeah, that game's long gone. Let it go.
Well,
Let it go.
But you know what? We do have a game this week. We probably should talk about it.
I was just going to say. There's nothing to say, though.
I mean, this is what I'll say. If the game, like, I would totally be fine with this. If we go there and Tom Manning hands the ball, well, it's not going to be him handed. If he calls the play for Deggers to hand the ball off to Jirel up and down the field, we only see like five Iowa State drives. We get out of there with like a 17-10 victory. We go, that was all right with that. I wouldn't love it, but I know that I'm kind of expecting it.
That's what I'm thinking.
We are in such a letdown spot right now where we just beat this rival that we couldn't fucking get past. Right.
And there's an important home game the next weekend with
the Baylor. Next week.
Right.
And you get these puny little babies coming into town that you think you're just going to roll over. I would not be shocked if it's going to be Run Jirel City.
I'm certainly expecting us to be run heavy to just milk this clock down after
we he's good control.
But I want the second strings to be seeing minutes in this game.
I agree.
And I think they will.
There needs to be an emphasis by our staff to assert the dominance early. This is how these games get out of hand, is when you don't do that. Mm-hmm. Assert your dominance early, and then you can bring in you can intermix those second string in with the first string so they can get real snaps with the real guys that they might be called into action with.
I think we're going to do that a lot more now. I mean, shit, you got a guy like eight. Because here's the thing. We're still trying to figure out, okay, who's the guys that we want to ride with? Because, all right, Jalen Knoll, he's a starter. X, obviously, he's the starter. But then that third spot, and I was kind of thinking, okay, this might actually be happening. I mean, we talked about this before the season, where who's going to be that third guy? Now is the question before. We're still, I mean, Dimitri Stanley, he's looked – His routes have been okay, but he's dropped some balls, and he's not the best pass. He's not the best blocker, even when he's blocking.
And what he's got, he has 1 year of eligibility, and so
yes.
And so, how long do you? I'm not trying to write him off, but it's true. There is a difference.
How long are you
going to
have?
Yeah, there's a difference between a transfer that's a sophomore and a transfer that has 1 year of eligibility left.
Yeah, I mean, it's between Aiden Bitter, who's been on the team since he came in Hunter Becker's year.
So he's a sophomore or a junior, right?
Technically, by eligibility, he still has 4 years left. So he could be like a freshman.
So if it's a wash, you give it to the young guy.
Well, if he's performing, I mean, I saw a couple plays from him, and I'm like, whoo.
That
play was such a pivotal play because they ran up to the line. The Iowa defense thought they were going to review it, and then we just threw it at X, and X caught it.
Right.
That was a beautiful throw.
And then we got a field goal out of that.
I was going to say, it's too bad that throw wasn't about 7 yards deeper.
Man.
But I mean, like I say, I am not in any shape to start thinking about writing off Dimitri Stanley because I still believe that in his talent and stuff, but we're getting closer to that time where I think these game reps need to start meaning a little more for him.
Oh yeah. This is the game where you need to prove it. You need to prove this weekend who's going to play because next weekend we got Baylor.
It's conference play, and
it's conference play. It matters.
Everything will be set.
Yeah, next weekend is a huge freaking game. It's a huge game.
Yep.
I mean, you want to start off 1-0 instead of 0-1 conference. And if you're going to win the conference or go to the championship, you have to beat Baylor. As it seems today,
you got to beat the defending champ.
As it seems today. Maybe they suck. I don't know.
Man, Baylor has so much speed. That's it. It's like a freaking track team.
I hope it fucking rains. I hope it fucking rains the night before, so that field's nice and wet. And they, all that gets mitigated.
I think it's time for them to come up to the snow.
Rip up that brand new turf. Yeah, right. Baylor playing in the cold. Apparently, they don't have to. That's how the schedule always plays out.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
Yeah, why is it? Yeah, why is it that our Big 12 North opponents end up getting scheduled late? It seems like now that's changed a little more recently.
It's changed. Yeah, it's changed. We're playing Texas Tech the second to last week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, but Texas Tech is kind of the ugly sister.
Yeah, but
of the
we bunch. Finally got to play Texas later.
Yeah, that was in November.
In November, yeah.
Which so, I think it ended up being fairly.
Anyway, about Ohio.
How about Ohio?
This is what I'll tell you. If our offense isn't pushing them around, pushing their defense around, and Jirel's not getting 6 yards a clip, it's going to be a long afternoon. However, from what I saw last weekend, Jirel should be going chunk.
Yeah.
If we're getting crazy. And we're just starting to throw it around the yard and it's going incomplete, I'm going to start getting mad. We got to hand it off to Jirel until that doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Like, he was excellent last week, and the offensive line was excellent. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. This is one of those games where I'll be like, all right, fine. Just fucking score touchdowns, hold them to nothing or field goals, and just get out of there. Because I know that we're not going to be going crazy. We're not going to be hiding anything, but we're not going to be going crazy.
I sure as hell don't remember our offense moving the ball against Iowa last year like we did this year.
No. I mean,
no, man.
And we did it in their house. And
there wasn't, yeah. There
and it wasn't like they were booing and being quiet, booing their offense and then being quiet on defense. They were still being as aggressive as a crowd. Like it wasn't a nonchalant, just do what you like, non-conference game. That was still a hostile Iowa City. And we marched right down their fucking throats and just didn't finish the business enough times to really do what we should have been doing. You know how it drives stall out at the goal line.
Well,
but yes, I'm excited about this offense. They've proven.
Yeah.
Every time I've talked to somebody this week, they've said, oh, we should have beat them by 24. We should have beat them by whatever. We all know that. I mean, because they could not stop our offense unless we threw it to them or whatever. Or we were backed up. Our punt got blocked. Bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, that's kind of what, to a degree, that's what our defense does too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's frustrating as hell. It really is. I mean, you said it. We won, and I was still annoyed. It's like, I know that we should have won by a hell of a lot more, and it came down to that, and it took me about 30 minutes or more to finally come off of.
When you have 5 turnovers in a game, and as I said before, I categorize punt blocks as turnovers. When you have 5 turnovers in a game, and you give them good field positions, then and you're coming away with a win. That's a big win, especially with the rival, especially with somebody whose defense is that. I mean, like, their offense is booty, but their defense, they have a good defense. They have a really good defense. Those 4 linemen, they're legit, especially that Lucas Van Ness guy. Those guys are legit.
Their front 7 is elite. Like,
yes. Yes.
Man.
Offense was really, to be honest, pretty much just as bad last year, but there's.
I do not agree with that.
I think this offense is historically bad.
This offense is fucking terrible.
We did have different weapons last year.
We held them last year very well, but they weren't. It wasn't like they couldn't complete a single fucking pass.
That's true.
Yeah, like
Petrus threw a nice ball to Charlie Jones last year that they scored on. And like, then they, I can't remember the other ones, but I mean, they had Tyler Goodson and he was
all right. I don't remember the other ones.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but I, the thing about, let's talk about Ohio for a little bit. The thing about Ohio is they have a pretty good offense comparatively for what the level that they play at. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback's pretty good, but the thing, I think his defense is just too good. I think our defense is too good. I think our line and our linebackers, our front six, if you could, if you will, I think those guys are too tough to do anything against. They're going to have trouble running the ball against them. And our cornerbacks have really stepped up since the first drive of the first game. Like Miles Purge is, they threw flags on him on Saturday that weren't even pass interference. And TJ Tampa has looked excellent, so I'm not worried at all.
He really has. I've been pretty impressed with him.
Oh yeah, I think that this is the first time in a while where both cornerbacks are really solid, and I would go, okay, where are you going to throw? It's been a couple of years since that, and probably since 2018 when they played Peavy and Anthony Johnson next to each other.
Yep.
So
that's like a long time for a decade.
So Ohio is definitely a better offense than Iowa trotted out for us. How much better do you think they are than SEMO?
Slightly better.
Slightly.
Here's the thing. I think that there's a mixture for the SEMO offense where we didn't know that guy could run at all. We didn't prep for that at all. We have game tape of Ohio, and we know much better what those guys are because we have actual tape of games that were on ESPN, some form of ESPN. Like that guy, that De Laurent or whatever his name was.
Yeah,
there was zero tape on him.
Wasn't that the same scenario when we played you and I and McIlvain was their quarterback?
Right, we had a bunch of
unknown, and then it turned out he was this dual threat runner.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it turned out the 2019 game.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That game was so ugly.
Ugh. Oh my gosh!
That game was terrible. That game was awful. Oh, that game was awful. I want to puke.
Yeah, I'm not trying to bring up bad dreams or whatever, but it kind of felt that way. In that you just don't have a damn clue who you're coming up against.
Right.
That there's one guy in that game that I let's just say that it's the last time that I like actually never mind, I'm not gonna say it. Yeah, oh my god.
Keep it to yourself. You're not gonna say
I'm gonna keep it to myself, but there's one guy in particular in that game where I was very frustrated. Man. And if I were to say it, people would be like, yeah, I fucking remember. But I'll tell you guys after. But yeah, for the Ohio game, I think this is gonna be one of those. All right, nice. It's gonna be one of those games where we're like, okay, we're never in doubt. I don't know what the final score will be. It might be close. It might be a blowout on paper. But I think it's gonna be one of those games where we come in. We might start out slow. Who knows? But we come in. We just do the Matt Campbell special. Beat them. Get out. And go. Yeah, we'll play Baylor next week. And people will be doubting us playing Baylor because we didn't put up a million points.
Sure,
but it's one of the games that
Matt Campbell.
Yeah, one of those clean games where Matt Campbell just goes, all right, that was fun. Good job, boys.
Yeah, the Fiesta Bowl. Like, the Fiesta Bowl in 2020 was the epitome of what I think of when I think of Matt Campbell football, where you prove to the coaching staff that we are not going to lose, and then and then you run that clock down.
Well, probably a better example, not to one-up you. But if you remember the 2020 Texas Tech game, where the Aiden Bowman or whatever his name, Alan Bowman, wrong quarterback. Alan Bowman couldn't do shit. Yep. Just couldn't do shit. And they had to bring in that Henry Columbia guy at the end, and he was starting to run around a little bit and make it interesting, but he didn't really.
But it didn't matter at that
point. It didn't matter. We like that game. The game was in hand from the first quarter.
Right.
And they knew it. And yeah, that was one. I always want to ask like the opposing fan of like, you know, you're not going to win this game, even though that you're like within scoring, you're within a couple touchdowns of competing in this game, but you know, you're not going to do it. How does that feel? It's my own question. It feels like playing fucking Iowa.
Those are some of my favorite games.
Yeah.
Is the late November games when the weather's shit and it's like at meh opponent, you know, and mm-hmm. so there's a few empty seats. And over in Section M, for those that don't know, the upper deck visitor section is one section over from us.
Mm-hmm.
There's one section of home fans, and then it's the visitor section. And some of the best conversations I've had, whether they appreciate it or not, I don't know. I've usually got a pretty good buzz on, is going over there and just talking to the opposing fans.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that comes to mind is a K-State game where we were losing when I went over there, because the other people in my group had all left to go party in the parking lot instead of watching us lose, only to watch us come back around and win.
2018.
That must have been it.
Yep.
And talking to those fan bases, though, while you're seeing your team just lay into them, and there have been a couple where it's the sleeper hold situation, it's miserable. It's miserable for them, but they won't ever let on. They just stop talking after that sort of
thing. Just Mike Rose grabs that ball and goes into the end zone. They're like, eh. We're not friends with you anymore, Kev.
Yeah, right. But it's too late because I'm already here.
You're already there. That probably my favorite game of that was probably comes from Paul Rhodes when we shut out Texas. Because you see all these Texas fans come yeah. and they're going to root on their team. And they're like, we're going to – at least we'll watch them beat this team. Because they were pretty bad that year. At least we'll watch them beat this team. And then you just watch them never score. And Iowa State score like a couple touchdowns. And you just see all these fathers with their little kids who are trying to show their little kid a victory. Just look at, which is a face of sadness. And just going, oh, better like next year. And the kids were sobbing.
I know this is just an absolute terrible Ohio preview, but I don't really care.
It's Ohio.
So
it's Ohio, bro.
So it's funny. You just mentioned the Texas fans. And so a lot of times with Texas and Oklahoma, and I suppose to a lesser degree, the other fan bases, they are people that live in the state of Iowa that grew up fans here, and they're just transplants. So,
or it was the only game on TV.
Through right. my junior high, middle school, junior high, and high school years, me and my brother, we spent all of the games in the hillsides. That's where our tickets were.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd go to the Texas games and the Oklahoma games, and there would be hillsides just filled with the wrong team's colors.
Yeah,
because that's where those fans would go, and so we'd just be in there. And so watching Iowa State take Texas to the cleaners is just absolutely fantastic, because I had to listen to grown men with their kids giving me shit as some like 14-year-old kid. It's like, yeah, it finally came back around. Iowa State put a product on the field.
Well, I was about to say, they put a product on the field because, like, it's sort of like, you know, on campus. Like, sometimes, like, the players used to get mad because people used to wear other schools. People used to wear other schools' hoodies. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, I was guilty. I was guilty of wearing my Florida hoodie on campus.
You son of a.
Just like. I mean, but like to be, I mean, during like Georgia, it was like there's not really much like, you know, to cheer for. Eric wore his Oregon jersey too, so like,
hey, don't throw me under the bus.
There it is. There it is. No, nah, man, I'm not gonna be the only one that's
playing on this shit. Well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you how bad we sucked. I bought an Oregon jersey my junior year.
Yeah, he bought a DeAnthony Thomas Oregon jersey.
I don't know what to even say to that.
Hey, oh, it's called win. I'm saying, man. Fuck Oregon now.
Hey,
on our players, then we kicked their ass.
Hey,
that team had done shit.
We could have been wearing Hawkeye. We could have been wearing Hawkeye stuff. You should have saw the amount of Hawkeye stuff.
Oh my god, like, we were wearing
Iowa stuff on campus all the time.
At least I didn't do that. I was rooting for Iowa State.
Yeah.
And then I'd go back to my dorm and watch Oregon.
I threw
right. Up. Same thing. I watched Florida.
Is like, it?
Actually,
yeah, you've already said that.
Yeah.
Have you did any of you see the video? I have not looked to see if there's video or not. Apparently the Barstool people did something in Iowa City.
So they were, I can explain this. Yeah. They were doing like they were basically doing their version of game day.
Right.
And the host of the Unnecessary Roughness podcast, that's Barstool's big college football podcast. There's the guy, Brandon Walker, and then one of his co-hosts, Casey Smith, who's pregnant, announced that she was pregnant a couple weeks ago. And it's pretty obvious because that's all she talks about. And then Dave Portnoy, who's the founder of it, and Big Cat, they were all doing this big thing in Iowa City with like 500 people there. And then they start throwing beer cans and they hit the pregnant lady in the head. Like, I mean, they already are the stereotype, but they're just showing that they're proving it. They're proving it.
Right.
Fan base is disgusting. And I mean, we talked to a lot of people who are brand new Iowa State fans, or this was their first time coming to the tailgate 2 weeks ago. And they all asked us, are you going to the game next week? And we told them, no, fuck that place.
No, and I want to go. It's proven it. I want to go because I want to be in the stadium and
fuck that.
Be a part of it. But I do not agree with the covert ops Iowa State fan.
No, me neither.
But I understand why people would be tempted to do that just so that they don't get fucking full cans of beer thrown at them on their way in. And who knows what while they're in there.
I mean, I went to every stadium, like in the Big Ten, most of them. I've been to most of the Big Ten stadiums. I mean, going as an Indiana fan, and I went to Purdue, where Purdue and Indiana is a big rivalry.
Right.
Now they were yelling at each other in the stands, but they were both going at it, both sides.
Yeah, and you give yourself a bad time, whatever.
Yeah, if you're going to Rossade Stadium in Indiana colors, yeah, there might be some comments, like joking comments or whatever. If you're just walking by, people go ew, ew.
Right.
Nothing threatening though. And then, but you're not going to get a beer like dumped on you.
Yeah, but
like you're not going to get like shit thrown at you, even at Notre Dame.
When
like, that shit doesn't happen anywhere.
When X caught that pass, they literally threw shit on the field.
Yeah.
What the fuck is like, it's, I can't even,
like,
I don't
know. If that happens at Iowa State, I hope they kick that fan out.
And this is why,
right?
This is why the whole, you're a fan of Iowa because you shop at Walmart comment comes out. It's because it's not because people that shop at Walmart are trash. It's because trash goes to is a fan of Iowa. I'm not going to say that every Iowa fan is a trash fan because I know plenty of good Iowa fans. But
I don't.
Same here.
But I do. I'll say that I do. But
I know a few.
We've been at Iowa State Friday night before parties and have fast food fucking thrown at us in Ames by Iowa fans. It's like there is a segment of that fan base that is completely ruining the entire country's entire football watching country's opinion of that whole university.
Well, here's the thing. It's a big portion. It's definitely the minority, but it's not a teeny tiny little minority.
It's a noticeable amount, yeah. Enough to where everybody.
It's a stadium full of booing people, booing their own fucking quarterback. That's pathetic.
Minnesota fans have a chant that they'll do about how they hate the Hawkeyes when they're not even playing Iowa. Why does Minnesota do it? Oh, because they're a big rival? No, because you're douchebags. That's why.
Right.
You're all a bunch of douches. And that's what I'm trying to get across. Is like
for Mississippi. So Brandon Walker, the host of the Unnecessary Roughness podcast and kind of the host of the Barstool event that they had there, for him to go to Iowa City as a Mississippi State fan and go there on purpose, not just because it's IHOC, but he wanted to go there to piss off the Iowa fans because he fucking hates them. For a Mississippi State fan to hate the Hawkeyes, they have to be assholes, because it has to be noticeable enough where he can 365 days a year talk about how much he hates your fan base. I mean, these people are it's disgusting. It's so fucking dumb, and I'm so glad that we beat them.
And yeah, yep. So that's I guess I don't know where I'm getting at with this. And here again, this is just going to be another episode that has a segment of it about Iowa and not Iowa State and everybody else. But that's fine.
It's the Ohio preview. It's the Ohio preview.
It's the Ohio preview. If it was the Bama Ohio preview, we wouldn't be even touching it.
Right.
Oh, nah.
So Eric, you mentioned to me in the other day's episode asking if the Iowa game changed my thoughts on my 11-1 prediction preseason on Iowa State.
Sure.
And I said, no, I didn't think it did. I still maintain that thought because, well, one, I'm superstitious. Two, I'm an optimist. But I'm curious to hear the rest of your guys' thoughts then. On Iowa State's standing in the Big 12 now that still more or less no one has played a conference game, but maybe a couple of them have played one.
Virginia and KU,
Kansas.
This is what I'll tell you. I'll tell you point blank. We're not losing at home. We're gonna beat Oklahoma and Baylor.
No, Jack Trice is a fucking fortress.
We're not losing at home. Yeah. We're going to beat all five of those teams. And then we're going to go on the road. We're going to beat TCU because they're bums. We're going to beat KU. That might be a harder game than I thought, but we're still going to beat them. The other two games, I don't know. And I chalked them up at losses. We'll see what happens with Texas. If we lose at Texas, I'm going to be bum. I want to beat them, but it is what it is. I think they're more put together this year than they were last year, but that remains to be seen. And then losing to Oklahoma State, that might flip to a victory. Depends on what happens, but because I think their defense has fallen off ever since they lost Jim Knowles to Ohio State. But they still have an offense. They still have Mike Gundy. So I really do think we might go 10-2 this year.
I agree. The 10-2 record that I picked, I know I said 8-4, but now I'm actually more. This Iowa game has changed my mind. I think that we're going to be closer towards 10-2.
I got to ask you, Kevin.
Yeah.
We lose that game to Oklahoma State. Is it your fault? If that's the only one.
Sure, it's my fault. I marked it with 10. It's too late. I cannot erase it.
We only lose that game. And granted, we are going to the Big 12 championship. But you will be cussing yourself out because you're like, no, we can't go to the fucking playoff.
You say that. You say it. And I literally am smiling right now just thinking about it.
So, hey, If we go to the championship game, just fucking take it.
I'll make my own shirt that says it's my fault we lost one game.
It's my fault we lost to Oklahoma State. My fault we didn't go to the playoff.
Honestly, though, if we win like 11-1 or whatever, we would probably have that one loss to a stupid team that we could have beat.
So I disagree.
It cannot be Texas.
But it literally if we win that, we would probably beat like all these teams that we shouldn't even be competing with.
And we're gonna lose to Kansas.
We're not gonna lose to Kansas.
Or Texas Tech or something stupid, because that's what we do.
I think Kansas might be close, but I don't think we're gonna lose to them.
Yeah, like
they actually do make me a little nervous though.
I'm terrified of the running quarterback. Terrified.
Yeah.
But maybe that's when the 4-2-5 comes out.
Well, so this is, anyway. All right. How about let's talk about who are we playing? Ohio.
Ohio.
Let's talk. All right. Let's do a quick hitter. What's your score prediction?
Considering I don't know anything about them.
Yeah. Decent offense, subpar defense.
Okay. I'm going to say that we win 35-10.
Sheesh. Okay. What about you, Doug?
My prediction is 34-6.
Six.
You want to throw one in, Allison?
Just throw a number out. None of us know.
Let's go with
1,000,000-2.
No.
We got a safety.
I'm going to go ahead and
we lost.
I'm going to give them 13. Okay. I'm going to give them 2 field goals and a touchdown.
Sheesh.
And okay. I'm going to go ahead and say we definitely get at least 1 field goal. I'm going to go 27.
27-13. Now, that's probably the most realistic out of all of them.
Wait till I can say mine. I got 24-10.
Yeah.
And I know Kevin will be mad at that one, but I'm going to say it's a –
It depends on the context.
Never in doubt is a never in doubt 24-10.
Yeah. No, I can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. We'll score our second touchdown in the middle of the second quarter. And then, yeah.
If it is 14-10 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, I'm going to be fucking pissed.
It won't be. Don't worry.
Because that's when those score lines have a pissed off fan base.
We are totally jinxing this game.
That means starters are in at the beginning of the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are getting hot.
Okay. Who's your player of the game?
Player of the game against Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with an offensive player.
Okay.
I'm probably going to go with
Who are you going with?
I don't know. I can't. I'm just gonna take the pussy way out and say an offensive player.
Oh, okay.
Somebody's gonna
keep thinking on it. We'll come back to you. How about you, Kevin?
All right.
I'll price switch to
defense. I am going to switch to defense.
Just completely. Well, after I started thinking about it.
I am going to Jirell's not going to see minutes after he settles the win. I'm going to give it to. Yeah, I think I'm still going to give it to Jirell.
Yeah.
He's just going to put up numbers and then it'll be mercy minutes after that. And so mm-hmm. Another one of the backs could be an honorable mention. Who knows? It depends on when it comes.
What about you, Tyler?
My player of the game will be. What did you say?
I said we left the quarterback open.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am going to go with Will McDonald. I think I think he'll have like 2 sacks and he'll force.
He'll wake up. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I want to see.
He'll wake up. Yeah, they won't be able to stop him. SEMO wasn't really able to stop him either. They figured out a way to just put bodies against him.
And I don't think we pushed the issue too much either.
No. Once we started to realize that their quarterback could run a little bit, we got more conservative and definitely spied him more.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'll probably go with my player of the game. I'll probably go with Jirel just because I think we're going to pound the ball a lot.
Okay.
I might go with Trevor Downing because I think he'll have a big game, but I don't think that it'll be noticeable how good he is, but I think that it will be Jirel stealing the show.
I think it's hard as an
offensive lineman get the, yeah. Whether that's right, wrong, or otherwise.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying it's wrong. It's hard.
Go back and watch that Iowa game. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll go back and watch here in a little bit. Go back and watch that game and watch the massive holes that he gets some of the time. You'll just be like, holy shit, Trevor Downing's moving people.
I just think a lot of people underappreciate what it takes. Like you.
I do. I know that. No, I'm quick to complain about the line, but I don't really know what the fuck's
going on. Yeah, when our guys aren't doing shit, you're like, what the fuck? And then you're like, when the running back's getting tackled at the line of scrimmage, what the fuck is wrong with the line? And then when they're breaking long runs, look at him go.
Yeah, it's all the running back that's getting. Yeah, no, I will wholeheartedly admit that. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'd probably also say that the other side of the ball, if I were to have a player of the game, maybe to compete with Jirel, I'd probably say Isaiah Lee. He's been excellent so far. All those interior guys, J.R. Singleton has been excellent as well. But yeah, it'd probably either be Isaiah Lee or J.R. Singleton wherever he plays. So,
right. See, I hear Iowa fans complaining about their offensive line.
And shut your mouth.
And I guess we'll find out, right? But that was a hell of a display that our defensive line put on against what I think is normally a very good offensive line.
They got talent.
Was it the top end of what Iowa's ever put out? Not necessarily, but I don't care. That still means they're a good offensive line.
I mean, MJ Anderson totally just made one of their guys who's like a really good talent. I think he's really talented. Just made him look like a little boy. Just a little boy out of him right at the end of the game. And then stripped it for a fumble, strip sack, and then we got a foul because apparently he lined up offsides, and then we got another foul because we are all excited that we won the fucking game. Ugh, stupid fucking refs. Anyway, we won that game, by the way. I'm getting so mad about a game that we won.
Well, yeah.
Should have killed him. Shouldn't have come down to a field goal.
Big 12. So – yeah. Yeah, I won't say anything about the refs.
Well, we have enough weeks to bitch about them later. Anyway. All right, well, that's your Ohio preview.
Yeah, if you're coming to the game,
send there it is.
A message if you want to drink a beer at halftime.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you were looking for a real preview, you can probably find that at some other podcast. Here's your synopsis of the preview. If it's close, we're fucking up.
Well, that basically should be it. We're talking about winning double-digit games at the top end.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Ohio.
Yeah, sorry, Ohio.
Ohio. Mm-hmm.
You're on the chopping block. Anyway, that's your episode. All right, we'll see you guys. Go Cyclones.
Go State.
Go State.
See you guys.